This morning, for a meditation to the portion of Scripture we read there together, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We come here this morning to a decisive moment once again. Verse 7 says it to us in summary. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, there is a whole queue of people waiting to get into your mind and get your attention and work in your life. There's that queue of people with a list of things that have yet to be done, left undone for yesterday and earlier on in our life. There's the urgent and the pressing agenda that we haven't overtaken. We cannot delay. We're playing catch-up. So we've got this pressure and our minds begin to drift and drift away from things spiritual. And behind the queue, in the second place of things and people trying to get into our minds, there's another influence, this time directing our minds not to the things in the past that we've yet to do, but directing our thoughts to the future, things that need attention. There's so much that we're planning and hoping to achieve. There's so much that we've got to organize and get set for. There's a whole list of things we've written down in a sticket on our life. Time flies. Soon all these things will be on top of us. Or then again, there's another group of people and pressures drawing out our expectations. There's so many places to go to. So many people to see. There's so much more exciting things that you've got to do and achieve in life. And therefore, there's this pressure comes to bear on every one of us from different angles and aspects, packing into our life, claiming our attention, wanting to commandeer our living. And just because we come to church, that cue and that pressure doesn't leave us at the door of the church. That pressure is made more intense even here this morning as we listen to the things that God speaks to us, reading his word and meditating upon it, as we have our minds directed to spiritual truths. That pressure is made more intense because the devil doesn't like it when we think of spiritual things and our soul and salvation, and especially when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think of what he's done and the things that he holds out for a sinner, the way in which he deals with a sinner and holds out great promises to the sinner. That's the kind of message that stirs up all the forces of darkness, and they're set in array and in line against us, flooding and packing our mind and our life with as many distractions as are allowed in. Distractions. And therefore we've got to listen to what this passage is telling us. God is speaking. We meet here and he is speaking with us as he meets with us. Therefore, we have to listen carefully to what he is saying. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A decisive moment for every one of us. as God speaks, what are we doing with what he is saying? How often we've had this privilege repeated for us. He has met with us often. He meets with us regularly. When we come to worship and come to a service like this, it might come with different illustrations. It might come with different expressions. The truth might come cast in different molds. But it's the same truth that we're hearing here or in other places. God is telling us about the spiritual danger that we're in. He's telling us about the only way of escape from it. The Bible holds out for us a spiritual rest and a spiritual peace. Our minds are directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who alone can give our conscience quietness, can take away the trouble that we've got. Only Jesus Christ can achieve that great work inside, in the life of you and me. So therefore, the gospel that we've got directs our thoughts to the supremacy, the majesty, the sheer perfection and suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our minds focused upon the cross. We have our minds lifted to higher realms, not of time, but of eternity. We have our thoughts directed to heavier and weightier, more solemn subjects, the destination of your soul and mine. Is it going to be heaven we're heading for, or is it to hell we're going? We have our minds directed to personal dealings with God. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have one? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? These are the tones, the themes. These are the messages that we hear in the gospel. The Lord is speaking to us about them. Therefore, take care how the Lord deals with us. The warning is given to us in that first verse. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Don't come short of it. It's again repeated for us in verse 7, the duty. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then we come down to verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There we have the reason for coming short, unbelief. So therefore, here this morning, we all of us have a responsibility. In a sense, we're standing as a judge, coming to an opinion about the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. That's what we're doing. We're coming to an opinion. But just the same way as we're coming to an opinion about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we're doing with the Word of God. Here we're told what the Word of God is doing to us. Yes, we hear the challenge and the gospel, turn, believe, trust. Important issues are involved. Uncertain time is before us. We don't know how long we've got. All that we're told is that today is the day of salvation. We therefore dare not delay. There is, if we're familiar with Old Testament teaching and the illustrations that are used here by this writer, there's a whole trail of graves in the desert, in the wilderness, of people who did not believe in what God was saying to them. And that trail and line of graves brings home to them a vivid visual aid. The need to believe and trust in what God has said. We therefore come and we're sitting alone underneath God's word. And God is speaking to us. And as he speaks to us, sometimes we are so aware of that, that we say, that's me he's talking about. That's me he's talking to. Alone and isolated. God's word, we're listening to it. What opinion are we coming to about it? God's word, working in you and me. We can never, ever, ever treat God's word indifferently, as if it's a side event. Take it or leave it, whatever you like. God has spoken. We need to pay heed and take note. Consider well what he says. Because one day, we will have to give an explanation of all that we've got and all that we're doing here. God's word, it's getting inside us. It's pinning us down. It's testing us. If you go, just go to verse 13. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's God looking at us and seeing us, and he's familiar with every detail about our life. The word that is used there, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him we have to do. It's not a common phrase or word that's used in the scriptures. One way it's used is of a wrestler. A wrestler who's got his opponent in a hold that he cannot get out of. That's what the Bible is saying to us will happen to us. Through life, it seems we might even think as if we can escape, as if we are escaping. But then one day is going to come when God is going to grip us just like that wrestler, and he's not going to let us go, and we're not going to escape. Then and now, here and now, something is happening to us. Something is happening in us now. And something will happen to us later on. Caught by God in a hold we cannot escape from. So what is it that's happening to us now? As we sit underneath the gospel, as we hear what God is saying, yes, we are judging God's word. We're coming to an opinion about Jesus. But then something is happening in us. The word is working in us also. What is happening? Verse 12 tells us, the word of God is quick. Now, it doesn't mean it's speedy. It's nothing to do with speed. The word quick here means it's alive. It's powerful. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 22 says that where you go, it will lead you. Where you sleep, it will keep you. When you're awake, it will talk with you. Now, what does all that mean? It means simply that through all of the variety of life, God's word is there meeting you, confronting you, and doing so in a powerful way. This book, the Bible, God's word, goes deep into your life, strikes at your heart. It gets inside us and it disturbs us. It's quick. It's powerful. There are other books. There are other books that we can read as we're growing up in life. And we can leave them behind when we pass on from that stage. But we never ever outgrow the Bible. It always has something to say to us. It is always there fresh and powerful, meeting us, speaking to us, telling us about spiritual dangers and spiritual escapes. Fresh and full of life. Sometimes, and I'm sure that we all can understand this experience, sometimes we often read it. Perhaps we did that a moment ago in our reading this portion of it. We can read it without thinking too much of what we're listening to. You know the way in which you can stand on the shore on a summer's night and you've got a little stone and you can skim it across the water. Sometimes as kids you count how many bounces you can get out of it. Well, sometimes that's what we do. We're simply skimming over the verses. But then suddenly, the stone sinks. Suddenly, when we're reading and skimming over the verses, one particular verse catches us. It leaps out at us. It grips us. And suddenly we're aware that God is speaking to you. He's meeting us. You might be in a crowd, you might be with family, you might be friends, you might be in a big congregation, but it doesn't matter. God has isolated you and set you aside and apart. And God is speaking there and then through that text, that passage, that moment. God is meeting with you. Forever, the indifference is gone. Forever, the things that we once looked upon as habit and culture have been removed. At last, you're alone with God, and He's speaking with you. God's Word is alive, it's powerful. The world today, people round about us, they don't like us speaking about the Bible like this. And today, people try to laugh us out of court. People try to say, "Ah, it's just something to do with history," and leave it on the shelf to collect dust. People say that man is changing and man is going on, and therefore we've got to change. And the Bible has nothing to say to modern man. But no matter where man is, the Bible confronts us with the living, powerful Word of God. In the midst of the green emphasis of the environment, in the midst of the financial disaster and mess of our society, in the midst of international relationships, call them what you like, pick on whatever example you will, God's Word is up to date and has something to say about every one of these aspects of modern living. But especially, God speaks into your heart and into your soul about eternity, salvation, and your relationship with Jesus Christ. God's Word, then, it's quick, it's alive, but also it abides, it endures, it lasts. The grass withers, the flower fades. That's what we see about us as the seasons come and go. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God endures forever. God's Word never loses its application. God's Word never loses its relevance to us. It tells us, it speaks to us wherever we are, examining our values and setting our priorities. It tells us where we're going. It brings every aspect of life, modern day life, underneath its gaze and underneath its assessment and analysis. And God tells us constantly of the frailty of the way we're living today. God constantly tells us about the way in which it's so superficial and temporal. And one day, everything that we look upon as being so solid and substantial, one day these things will let us down. One day, all that we'll be left with is crumbling building and sand that goes through our fingers. But God's Word will not let us down. God's Word will not let us down. It abides. Again, think of the ways in which we were taught it. Maybe as children, away, way back down through the years of time. Something that was given to us by another tongue, by another person, in another place, years ago. Something said, and it went into the mind, and it's been lying there as a dormant seed, year after year. Until suddenly, something is said, or something happens, and it flourishes into life. Placed there as a child, but late in life, it begins to grow. God's Word abides. People try to kill it, smother it. People try to poison it. So many different tactics that are used, but the Word of God survives. Cannot be destroyed, because it is His Word. And what does it do? It's alive, it abides, it's active. It's full of energy. It convicts us. It turns us inside out and upside down. It puts our life underneath the microscope. It cuts us up into pieces. It analyzes us down to the essential, simple components. It takes us apart and dismantles us. There are a whole variety of arrows in the quiver of God. Sometimes God awakens us in a mighty, dramatic way, dragging us through a hedge backwards, bringing us quickly to a sense of our own danger that we're in, as sinners in His hand. The Philippian jailer is the most notable example. But then God works in other ways. Like Lydia, that very same chapter in the book of Acts 16, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. An altogether different way of being brought to know your own soul, your own need. An altogether different way of being brought to know the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God works in a variety of ways. You and me, every one of us, characters are different, circumstances are different. There's so much variety in us. And God respects that variety as He works in us. But it's always going to the same point. He's working always to the same experience. The Word of God and the Spirit of God at work in your life and mine has this one terminus, one destination, one end point, to convict us of the danger that we're in. To show the reality of our life as we are. The unpleasant side of life. There is nothing that can disturb us like that. There is nothing that can disturb us like God's Spirit at work in us, removing the false comfort, piling up the enormity of her guilt, the burdens that we're under, bringing them home in a weighty way to our minds. God's word indeed is active because it's convicting us, showing to us the real me, the real you. The Bible, we're told, is like a mirror. And of course, we all know that if you look in a mirror, you get a reflection of yourself. And that's exactly what God is doing. This book is like a mirror. When we look into it, we have a reflection of what we're really like, of the way God sees us and looks on us. God's Word probing us. It's alive, it abides, it's active. It convicts us, but it also converts us. God brings us to the point, the illustration I've used often is you're going down a corridor, the corridor of life. And on the left and the right, there are so many doors that are opening, each one of them with a different experience or a different venture. And when God deals with us, we hear doors slamming, because God is closing all these doors. We cannot come to Him arguing and hoping that, well, the good things that I've done, God's bound to look on it and give me brownie points. God is bound to look upon me with favor when He thinks of the things that I've done and the places I've gone to. Yes, surely, 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 I've got credit with God. And you hear the door close, and your hands are still empty. And you go down the corridor of life, and the Lord is directing us to one door that is open, and only one name that can save. He's directing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, closing down our options. We are in God's hand here. He is speaking with us and dealing with us. There is no way of escape. The path, He's leading us to the cross. The times gone by, perhaps we've never thought of the gospel at all. There are times gone by, we've never thought of the cross of Calvary and of what Jesus did upon it, suffering there in the place of sinners, dying that people might live. We've never thought about it. But that's where the Lord is bringing us. That's what the Lord is doing in us. He's showing us the stark spiritual reality of the gospel and our need of it. And He brings us in His grace and the work of His Spirit, not only to the discovery of what I am, but then in His grace He brings us to discover what Jesus Christ is. The only name underneath heaven whereby we must be saved. The only one that we can cast ourselves on and plead, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we come and God deals with us in grace, then all the weight and all of the burden and everything that's been piling up upon us is cast away. We go free. We live. God's Word, and only God's Word, brings that about in us, when God's Spirit brings it to bear upon our lives. God's Word indeed is active, working in you. Perhaps you're only partway down that process and you find it difficult to understand. Yes, God has been speaking to you and you've discovered so many things about your life that you never thought were true. And you're beginning to see yourself in an altogether different way, and it's not a pleasant experience and it's not a pleasant journey. But it's the start of a journey. And God will bring us through that conviction to convert us. And ultimately, in His grace, we pray, to comfort us. God's Word. It's quick, it's powerful. we're told, before we just close, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? A sword with two edges cuts both ways. People have speculated, well, what's one edge and what's the other edge? What does it mean when you cut one way and cut another way? Simply, we can go through all of these speculations and say this. God's word reveals, lays bare, shows up. It cuts. That's what it does. What does it do when it cuts us open then? It shows us our spiritual standing and status. There's one edge of that sword is the edge of life, and the other edge is the edge of death. That's simply what God's word does for us. We are never left indifferent. We're never left on the fence. We're never left in a neutral position. That's not the way God deals with us. When God's word gets deep inside us, it's a two-edged sword. It cuts this way and that way, and it shows us, drawing a line in amongst all of humanity, and which side of the line we're on. The sheep or the goats? Are you for me or against me? Are you with us or not? Whatever way we want to express it, that's the two-edged of God's word. The two-edged sword, God's word. We can try to put up every kind of barrier we want to. We can try to hide wherever we will. But we cannot. God's word cuts. And remember, that's what God's word is doing to us here, now, today. And God's word not only cuts, but God's word also pierces. The edge reveals, it cuts. The point goes deep inside. Sometimes, oh yes, we sometimes have difficulty understanding each other because we can pull the shutters down and we can hide the deeper aspects of our characters. Nobody gets in there but nobody. Except that is God's word. God's word pierces right to the very center of our being. We try, as we said, different ways to hide it, cover up, but God's word digs around inside us. It goes straight to the heart, straight to the conscience, right down to the deepest aspects of our life. And when God's word probes us down, deep down inside like that, we feel it. We feel the power of that word from heaven. You might be sitting there and you might be thinking to yourself, well, how does the minister know all these things about me? What he's saying is exactly what I'm thinking. What he's saying is exactly what I'm going through. How can he know all these things about me? How can he know them? Who's told him? Nobody's told me. This is God's word at work in you. Cutting, piercing, going deep, deep down inside you and showing exactly what you're like. Therefore, this morning, we have this decisive moment and experience. Yes, we're standing, we're judging, we're coming to an opinion about this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all the while, as we judge the word, God's word is working and judging us. It's at work within you and me, revealing these deeper aspects of our character. Things that we can hide perhaps from others, but we cannot hide from God. God revealing us in all of our true spiritual colors. What then? What then does God see as He looks into your life and into mine? And the one important thing for us is the sin and all the wrong that we've done. Is it covered up? Is it protected? Is it underneath the blood of Jesus Christ? The deep secrets, the hidden thoughts, the acts of shame. What does God see? That sin that still needs to be dealt with? Or does He see the blood of His Son applied to your life? A decisive moment. Just take, and with this I am closing, chapter 3 and verse 7. Today, the solemn occasion, God is speaking with us. In this solemn occasion, you and I have a special duty. Listen to what God is saying. As God is speaking to us, He speaks to us in a specific time frame. He is speaking to us today. Don't put it off. No one of us has the guaranteed copper-bottom assurance of tomorrow. And having all that said, the occasion, the duty, the time, there is this spiritual danger. Don't harden your heart. Don't keep on delaying. Don't keep on putting it off. This one important experience for every one of us. God is speaking. God is dealing with us. His Word is taking us apart, revealing us in our simple components. What is it that God sees? Do we trust? Do we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, or not? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless Thy name for Thy word to our souls this morning, for the way in which Thou hast spoken to us and dealt with us. And we pray, our Lord and our God, that Thy word indeed might be felt by us to be a mighty influence. Not so much the words of men, but the word of heaven and the voice of our God speaking to us. May we therefore lay it up carefully in our hearts and remember it, act upon it, and face up to its challenge. And in Thy grace, O Lord, bring us to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in His name, for His sake. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 43 and verse 3 to the end. Again, words that are appropriate to our meditation this morning. O send Thy light forth and Thy truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to Thy holy hill, even where Thy dwellings be. Then will I to God's altar go, to God my chiefest joy. Yea, God, my God, Thy name to praise, my harp I will employ. Why art Thou cast down, my soul? What should discourage Thee? And why with vexing thoughts art Thou disquieted in me? Still trust in God, for Him to praise, good cause I yet shall have. He of my countenance is the health, my God, that doth me save. Psalm 43, from 3 to the end, O send Thy light forth and Thy truth.